Whoa. Mic test. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, bless you. I am the eldest daughter of Martin and Margaret.
Woohoo!
And I am the step eldest daughter of Stuart and Marion. And it is so nice to be here. Me and my husband are missionaries in the... There's Evangeline dancing. I'm dancing there. Awesome, I think that's fair. Awesome, woo! Who knows that God created fun? Do you know that? Yeah, fun doesn't belong to the world. God created fun. So we're the church with a disco ball. Yeah, it was already in the building when we got the building. One of our buildings was a club before, and the other one is an abandoned cinema. So we like to copy you guys, you know? And so, yeah, was that awesome? Did you enjoy that? Yeah, praise God. Okay, my message today is from Romans. I know you're in Romans. I don't know where you are, but my scripture is just one verse, Romans 12, verse 10. Romans 12, verse 11. And it says, "Never let the fire in your heart go out. Keep it alive. Serve the Lord." Okay, and these are my 3 points. Number one, never let the fire in your heart go out. Number two, keep it alive. And number three, serve the Lord. Okay, you excited?
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Awesome. Okay, so let's turn to Matthew 13, verse 44. Matthew 13, verse 44. It's the parable of the hidden treasure. So our first point, never let the fire go out in your heart. First of all, you need to know where your heart is. The Bible says, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also in Matthew 6. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So before you can never let the fire go out in your heart, you need to know where your heart is, right? So it says here in Matthew 13, verse 44, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field." Okay, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man found in a field. When he found the treasure, it says he was filled with excitement, and he went home and sold everything he had to purchase the field with the treasure in. Okay, so I have some little sub-points for you from this Matthew 13, 44. Number one, the kingdom of heaven is available to you. It says the man found a treasure in a field. He didn't have to, like, go through customs or, like, beg someone to show him where it was. He just found this treasure in a field. Have you ever done that? Found treasure in a field? Not often, no. But the kingdom of heaven is available to anyone who wants to find it. That's the first point. Like the man, he just found a treasure hidden in a field. The kingdom of heaven, it's quite hidden in the field of God's kingdom. The treasure of Jesus and salvation and your life with God is a little hidden in the field of God's kingdom, but it is available if you wish to find it. Number two, it says, in his excitement. If you're not excited about God's kingdom and what God's doing in your life, you've not yet found your treasure. Do you get that? If you're not excited about God's work and God's plan and God's purpose for you, you haven't yet found your treasure. It says, when he found the treasure in the field, he was filled with excitement. And number three, he sold everything. He was filled with excitement, and he went home and sold everything. Think about this. This is crazy. Imagine if you're just in the moors, you're walking, and you walk through a field and you find some treasure. And then you think, oh, treasure! I know! I'm going to go home and sell my house and give up my job and sell my car and all my jewelry and my TV and my computers and my phones and everything to purchase this field to own this treasure. It sounds pretty crazy. And to the world, the kingdom of heaven looks pretty strange and crazy. He says he sold everything to go and purchase this field with the treasure. My third point for you this morning for that is, if you've not sold anything, if you've not lost anything or giving anything up for the kingdom of God, you haven't yet found your treasure. Because when you find your treasure in God, it's not like, oh, I've found out what God wants me to do with my life. Oh, now I have to give up everything. Oh, no. Well, that's how we feel. That's how we think it's going to be. We think, oh, you have to give up everything to serve God? Flipping heck. Right? No, 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 no. When you find the treasure in the field, it's an amazing thing. You're filled with excitement. You don't have to, like, pretend to be excited. God's blessed me. It's awesome, isn't it? It's awesome. Ah, I have to give up my house. No. It says he was filled with excitement and went and got rid of everything materialistic and everything of this world to purchase the kingdom of God. It won't be a hard thing to do. It might be a little bit painful and cost you something, because it cost him something, right? The field cost him actually everything that he had. But he was filled with excitement and then he had everything. Yeah? There's a cost to getting God's plan for your life. There's a cost to getting God's kingdom and God's best for your life. The Bible says you cannot serve both God and money. You will either hate one and love the other. We have two gods in this world. One's false and it's called money. One's real and it's the Father, King of Heaven. You have to decide who you're going to serve. You can't have earthly riches and heavenly riches. That man could not own everything at home and own the field. He had to choose. It's a choice. When we were at the youth meeting on Friday, how cool is it that you have a youth meeting? That is awesome. Do you know how awesome that is? I'm so excited. So exciting. So we were at the youth meeting the other night, and one of the girls said, we were playing this game, Carl and Lowry decided to get the youth to name every single book of the Bible and put them in groups of, like, history, poetry, and they did it. But one of the girls said, if we don't win, there's no point, because winning is everything. And I have some news for you today, that the Christian life is all about losing. Do you know that? It's all about losing. You have to get comfortable with losing if you want to live for God, because that is what Christianity is about. If you want to get God's kingdom, you have to lose this world. It says it in every gospel. Matthew 10:39, twice in Matthew actually, in every gospel, if you want to save your life, you will lose it for God's kingdom. If it says it in every gospel, that's pretty intense, right? You know that, don't you? If it's in every gospel, Jesus' birth isn't in every gospel, but this is, and twice in Matthew. If you want to save your life, you will lose it. You will lose this world and everything that it can give to you and all the treasures that it offers you to gain the treasure in the field. Yeah? Exciting? Never let the fire go out in your heart. In the Philippines, we have this, like, burger stand, and it's called Frank's Burger Stand, okay? And it's awful. It's really bad. It's really cheap, but it's fast food, and it's like a stale bread bun with, like, random meat. I don't even know if it's meat. Not sure. Could be something else. And it's like knockoff cheapest ketchup. They don't serve it in England, this ketchup. It is like beyond. It's called banana catsup because they don't know how to say ketchup. So they call it catsup, K-A-T-S-U-P, because they think ketchup, catsup. So they call it banana catsup. And you know what? Filipinos love these burgers, Frank's Burgers. It's great. It's easy to buy. It's accessible. If you need some fast food, it's awesome. But then one day, they opened a McDonald's. And everyone started to go to McDonald's and try a Big Mac or a double cheeseburger or a quarter pounder. And all of a sudden, all of a sudden, the value of Frank's Burgers decreased because they tried McDonald's burgers. Now, I'm sorry, but the McDonald's here is rubbish. You have to come to the Philippines and try McDonald's. It is amazing. I remember Carl saying, this burger's amazing. It's the best burger I've ever tried. But seriously, McDonald's is awesome in the Philippines. And so when Filipinos started to try McDonald's, Frank's lost its value. Did Frank's change anything? No. Same catsup, same random meat from some random animal, possibly an animal. Same stale bread bun. But because something of higher value opened up and offered something fresher and tastier, people wanted McDonald's. And they have a choice. The thing about McDonald's is it costs more and they have to travel further to get it. It's not actually in our town. It's like 1.5 towns away. But Frank's, there's like three in our town. So if you want McDonald's, you have to travel further and it costs more. And it's the same with the kingdom of God. You can live a Frank's life if you want for the world. You can have your burger that's accessible and easy and get your career and build your house and your family here and live for yourself and save your savings in your bank account. If you want, you have a choice. Or you can travel further and pay more for a McDonald's life, which means you have a higher value burger life. And I can say that because I've done it. I gave up my life here and it was painful. I have to every day painfully not be with my family every day, miss them every day. It's painful. Live in a different culture, live in a different country, learn the language, be humbled that I'm white and not brown and I look like an alien. It's true. Learn their culture, humbly understand that, you know what, actually being British isn't always right. When you live in a different culture, you're not always right. And you know what? Was it hard at first? Yeah. Was it costly to go home and sell my house and my cell phones and everything to purchase the field? Yeah, a little bit. Uncomfortable, yeah. Was there a loss? Yes. But was it worth it? Oh, McDonald's is worth it. Yeah, it was worth it. It was worth it to purchase the field with the treasure of the kingdom of God in. It was so worth it. Never let the fire go out in your heart. You have to know where your heart is first in order for there to be a fire in it from God. You need to know, where is my heart? Well, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's my first point. The second part of that scripture says, keep it alive. Now, in our churches in the Philippines, if you'll ever visit and stay for a long time, you'll hear this phrase go around, and it's this: do it broken. Do it broken. And it's something we say to the leaders and the young people week in, week out, and now they say it to each other, and now they hashtag it on Facebook and everything. Do it broken. And it means this. It doesn't mean do life broken. When we say it, we don't mean life. Don't do life broken. You're really blessed. You've got Route 61 here for your heart healing. That's awesome that you've got something that is accessible to you, that you can come and get healing and restoration from God. But you know what? Even if you do Route 61, you're still going to be hurt through life. Other things. Because you know the truth is, in the Christian walk and the non-Christian walk, you go from one suffering and one pain to the next. That's life. It's not about the wins, it's about the losses. That's the truth. You have more losses than wins. But if you walk with Jesus, he already won. So then you just go through every loss and every battle knowing, you know what, I'm going to do it broken, not life, ministry. Do ministry broken. Do God's work broken. When I went to the Philippines, I'd like 4 weeks beforehand had a miscarriage. I was a wreck. When I got in the Philippines, didn't understand the language. I had a little baby that was one. Andrew, my husband, was brought up there. He knew the languages. He knew the culture. He just fit right in. I had to like adapt. All of a sudden, I had a Filipino husband, and it was so random. A white Filipino husband, because he just slot into the culture. And for me, I was totally alone, had no idea what was going on. Felt like everyone was against me because everyone's staring at me because I'm white. And I just had no idea, and I was so broken. And people would say, don't go on mission now. First, you need to get healed up before you do this. If I waited till I was healed up, I still wouldn't be there. Because the truth is, when you get over that pain and problem, and sometimes you're still not over it, there's another one that's coming. Because that is life with God. Especially if you're a leader, you're on the front line of battle. I've come home for a rest. I've come home from the battlefield. I'm a soldier. And I've come for a break. That's why, when I saw Stuart and Marion, I cried. Because they're like my mum and dad. And it's so nice to see them come for a rest and get some love. Because when you're living on the front line of God's kingdom, you're fighting battles. And what's happening? No, that's life. One battle, next battle, next battle. Don't wait till you're whole to do it. You do it broken. When you do it broken, you know what? It's more anointed. This is what we say to our young people. There used to be time they would come up and try to lead worship and they would say, Nanay. They call me Nanay. It means mummy in Tagalog. Nanay, I can't lead worship. Why? Because this happened. They've got a problem. There's something going on at home. Suffering. My dad's told me if I come to church, he's going to beat me. Lots of different crazy stuff. Real problems, you know. And I have to tell them, listen, it shows your maturity or not, if you can do it or not. You don't do it when you feel good. I feel awesome. I'm going to lead the praise and worship. If you can get up and do it while you're broken, that shows your maturity in God. That's how you stay alive, living for God. If you can get up broken, you know what? It's more anointed. If you can do it more broken, it's more anointed, because what you're saying is, I cannot do this, God. In my own strength, no way. If you get up when you feel great, it's in your own strength. And it might be awesome. People might be blessed and healed. But you know what? If you do it when you're broken, the Holy Spirit has an entrance to everything. And he comes through your brokenness. And then you know, it's not me. It's not me because I'm a mess. It's not me because I've got serious issues going on in my life that I don't know how to fix. And I can only trust God that he will provide the way out. Do it broken. Not life. Because if you do life broken, you hurt people. Do ministry broken. Do God's plan for your life broken. It's okay. It's not wrong. Don't wait till, I'll wait till I'm better. I'll wait to do it. I'm not ready to share yet. Well, now is the perfect time to share. Because while you're not ready, the Holy Spirit is. And he wants to use you as his mouthpiece to share. Do it broken. It's so awesome. We have, sorry, I've got so many papers. Let's see where I am. Yeah, when you know, that was it. When you're doing it broken, it costs you. Like that scripture says, that man had to go home and sell everything. When you do it broken, it costs you your time, your money, your effort, your emotions. And when you're doing it broken and it's costing you, you're purchasing the field. Do you see that? If it doesn't cost you anything and you're, I love getting up at the front. I love it. I enjoy it. Yeah, let's share. Didn't cost you anything. You're not purchasing anything in God. But when you get up and you've just had a fight with your husband or your wife and you feel like killing your kids or something and everything's going wrong, this is not me, I'm talking about someone else. Everything's, I'm serious, it's not me. Everything's going wrong, or it feels like everything's going wrong and someone's just scratched your brand new car outside or something, I don't know, and you have to get up and say something awesome about God and you feel like, I'm not feeling it today. It costs you to then get up because you have to rely on the Holy Spirit to be the one to speak through you. You're purchasing the field because you're giving up your materialistic self and life and things that are of you. When we first arrived in the Philippines, we didn't have enough money to eat. And I'm not exaggerating. You could ask Sam, because Sam was with us for the first 7 months we were there. And it was quite a funny time. because the truth is, when you're a missionary, people want to see what you do before they financially support you. And I get it. You don't want to give your money to something that you have no idea what people are doing. And so anyway, when we got there, we didn't have enough money, really. And anyway, there was one day we were really hungry and saying, God, like, please provide us some food. And our neighbors came and invited us to eat their dog. Right? It's true, isn't it? Yeah. And so Andrew came in the house a bit like, how's Ruth and Sam from Middlesbrough going to take this? And he's like, listen, the neighbour, they're having a party and they've just killed their fatted dog and they've invited us to eat their dog. And he's like looking at me and Sam and we're like, yeah, awesome, let's go! So anyway, we went round and we ate this dog and it was good. Yeah, come on. And spicy catsup sauce on this dog. No, I'm serious, didn't we? We went and ate this dog. And you know, we were like, I was like saying to God, what are we doing here? Like, you called us to be missionaries here and we can't eat. What are we doing? How can we come here and save people when we can't even save ourselves? What are we doing here, God? Like, hello, you're supposed to provide for your children? I have provided. Here's the dog next door. And, you know, there's a few stories in the Bible where he told them everything's eatable, right? Sorry, we're in England, right? Is this recorded? Oh, dear. Yikes. But really, so we went and ate this dog. But in my mind, I was like saying, God, you called us here, right? You're supposed to provide for us. Like, how are we supposed to live every day stressed about not having enough money for food? How can we minister to people if we're stressed about not having enough money for food? But the truth is, money doesn't scare God. And it shouldn't scare you. If you're purchasing a field, with the kingdom of God in, money is irrelevant. Don't I sound like Dad? It's funny, isn't it? I could just hear his voice. Yeah, it's true. He preached this message last year. I'm just joking.
I need dogs too.
But that's the truth. Money, you know what? Money is a false god of this world and this age and of every age. Money is the false god. And money doesn't scare God. And it shouldn't scare you if you know God. And we had to come to that lesson. We had to learn that lesson of, actually, money doesn't matter when you've got dogs to eat. No, money doesn't matter. What we need is food, right? We don't need money, we need food. We don't need money, we need God to provide. And so, like, that's why tithing is important. Because tithing shows God that money is nothing to you. When you can give God the minimum, which is 10%, the minimum of what you're meant to give to God, when you can give that, you show God, money's nothing to me, God. I'll give you the minimum that you require. You have a freedom to choose whether you tithe or not, but everything is beneficial. And you know what? If you love this church, if this is your home church, you will tithe here because it's the minimum you should do for God, not the maximum, the minimum. When we started our church, I read Haggai 1, verse 3 to 9. I'm just going to read it. Haggai 1, 3 to 9. This is my last point, which is the first one was never let the fire go out in your heart. The second one was keep it alive by doing it broken, because you're keeping it real then. When you do it broken, you're really alive. Yeah? And the third one is serve the Lord. Romans 12, verse 11. So it says in 1 Haggai, verse 3, so this message from the Lord came to me. The Lord said, my temple is still destroyed, but you are living in houses that have been beautiful wooden walls. Verse 5, the Lord who rules over all says, think carefully about how you are living. You've planted many seeds, but the crops you've gathered are small. So you eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you're never full. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn your pay, but it will not buy everything you need. Think carefully, verse 7, he continues, think carefully about how you are living. Go to the mountains, bring logs down, use them to rebuild my temple and my house. Then I will enjoy it, and you will honor me, says the Lord. Stop there, verse 8. And I read that just before we started our first church. And I said to Andrew, I want our churches to be just as good, if not better, than our home. I want everything in our church first before I have it in my house. Because I see here that God cares about his house. And he said to those people, your house has beautiful paneled walls, one translation says. Beautiful wooden walls. Your house is beautiful, but mine's been left for a wreck. And I said to Andrew, listen, as we build this church, I want our house to come second. I want God's house to come first. So if God's house has TV screens, first in God's house and then in mine. If we need chairs for God's house, first in God's house, then in mine. Because I want to make sure that God's house is better than my house because it's God's house, right? People always say, church is the people, not the building. And yeah, I agree. But if God's given you a building to meet in, it's his house. You need to respect it and love it and honor it. In the Bible, God is very specific and detailed about how he wants his house, with measurements and fabrics and woods, right? Very specific. It's not just like a whatever, the people of the church. Yeah, it's true. And I can say that because when we first went to the Philippines and started the first church we were assistant pastors of for 5 years, we started the church under a mango tree. We didn't have a building. So the church is the people, essentially. But if God has blessed you and provided you with an awesome building, like this one, beautiful building, it's your responsibility as a church to look after it and provide for it by your minimum 10% tithing at least and make it beautiful for God. Not to show off, but for God, because this is his house. And he cares about what things look like because he's a creative God. Do you know that? Is it interesting? And that is how you serve the Lord. You start serving the Lord in his house. So the basic way I always teach our young people and people in our church, if you don't know what your calling is from God, you don't know what your passion is about, and it's like you're not sure what to do with your life yet, serve in church. Come and clean in church on a Saturday. Come and set the chairs out. Come and join a rota for the kids' ministry. Come and clean the toilets. Bring the water for the toilets because we don't have running water. Turn on the air conditioning because we do have, it feels like this actually, nice and cold. I like your aircon, it's quite good, but except you don't have the sun outside to like, anyway, we're believing in faith for the sun. And you know, start serving in church, and as they start to serve, doing like the menial tasks of putting out the chairs, sweeping the floor, and all of that, they start to shine in the area that they're called to work in. People come in church, and we've had them in ours, and they're like, I'm a gifted singer, I want to be on the stage. And we're like, whoa, okay, awesome, that's awesome, you can sing. But first, you're going to serve. Because that scripture says, never let the fire go out in your heart. You need to know where your heart is. Where your heart is where your treasure is. And then it says, what? Keep it alive. Do it broken. I don't want to sweep the floor. You just exposed yourself where you're really at. If you don't want to sweep the floor, you're not getting on the stage to sing. I don't want to sweep the floor. First sweep the floor, do it broken. Maybe you don't want to do it, but okay, I'm going to do it anyway. Awesome, do it anyway. Do it no matter how you're feeling. And as you begin to do it no matter how you're feeling, the small tasks of serving on the sound desk or washing the windows or something simple, God will start to reveal to the leadership what is your gifting, what is your calling, where you are called to serve in his plan. And you will be excited. It won't be a chore. It won't be like, oh, they asked me to do this. Okay, I'll run a prayer meeting, or I'll run what do you call your life groups, what they're called? I'll run a small group, all right, I'll do it. No, when they give you that treasure, you'll be filled with excitement to do it. You'll have passion to do it and zeal to do it because you know how to serve God, serve the Lord, that scripture says. Are you encouraged? Yeah, you know what, that's it. That's all you need. Never let the fire go out in your heart. Keep it alive and serve the Lord. I want to pray for you. You know what? If you feel like you're not sure where your treasure is, I want you to stand up and I'm going to pray for you that God will make clear that the treasure of your heart and your treasure is in his kingdom. Number two, if you're like battling with purchasing God's field and giving up your own field, stand up because the Holy Spirit can give you strength to give up your own life. Give up your own field to follow God and get his treasure. Number three, if you're broken and you've always felt like, they can't use me, I've got too many problems, I've got too many issues, I've got too many sins, I want you to stand up because God's going to give you freedom today to learn how to do it broken and understand, I can take communion because it's actually in the blood where you get your healing and forgiveness and freedom. I can come and serve in the church. I can sing even though I've just had a fight with somebody because I'm free in Jesus to do it. Not because I'm awesome, because Jesus set me free. And I'm believing that there's going to be a better me later and I will trust God is making that person. And the last one for serving and finding what is your gifting and your calling in God, a heart to serve in God's house. And maybe some of you were like inspired about the building. Some of you are inspired about the making the building beautiful. I want you to stand up because God's going to give you like creative ideas how to make the building awesome and how to make your facilities great for God's Holy Spirit to fall because it actually matters. The Holy Spirit loves order and decency and God's really specific about his house. And so if you're any of those people, I want you to stand up and I'm going to pray over you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus, we thank you that you knew exactly what you were talking about when you said that man found that treasure in a field and went and was filled with excitement, went home and sold everything to purchase that field. God, would you do that for us this morning? Lead people to your field, God. Give them a passion for your work and your house, Lord, this morning. We pray for those people, God, who like have no idea where their hearts are or what their hearts are connected to. God, would you just break every worldly tie that entangles our hearts and keeps us in the treasure of the world? God, we give up it now in Jesus' name. We say, Lord, bring our hearts to your field and fill us with that excitement from the Holy Spirit to purchase that field for our lives, God. Holy Spirit, we pray for those people that feel broken, that feel like, I don't think Route 61 is ever going to do it for me. I don't think God's ever going to heal me of this situation. I don't think God's ever going to transform my problem. Well, the good news is he is. As you begin to do life broken and keep it alive, never let the fire go out in your heart. Keep it alive by doing it broken, by living for God broken and not having it all together and trusting in him and taking the communion to wash you clean every week. You will start to see transformation. You'll come across that field and the world will no longer be a distraction to you. Holy Spirit, we pray for those people that were inspired about sorting out God's house. Give people passion to set out the chairs. Give people a passion to hoover the floor. Give people excitement on how to decorate and how to schedule things in the church and all the rotas and everything that goes on. Give people gifts to do it, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray that you will give everyone in here a desire to serve in your house, God. That they will be hungry to serve you. People will be excited for their life group night, small group night. People will be excited for the band of brothers and band of sisters night. That it will not feel like a chore. That it will not feel like, I have to do this because it's for God. I have to do it because the church is resting on me. No, you're free to say no or yes. But I just pray that you're filled with a passion and fire to do it for God now in Jesus' name. You are so blessed, Amazing Grace. You have the only church on Teesside Park. Do you know what that means? Do you know the battles you're facing? You have powers and principalities of the world right on your doorstep, but you have all of heaven's armies with you fighting for this land. On this materialistic land, yours is the victory. This is no small thing. This building is the house of God. It is a huge thing. When you enter this house, when you enter them doors, feel his presence. He's always here waiting for you to come. He's waiting here every time you come. It's not just the facility you use. This is the house of God, and he rests here waiting. His Holy of Holies is here. This is it. This is the place where you are filled. This is the place where you ignite your passion every week. Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see your heavenly armies that stand with us as we fight. Fill us with strength to do it broken. Fill us with strength to serve you, God. And open our eyes and guide these leaders, God, on individualized passions and giftings for people, Lord. That when they give people jobs, people will be inspired to do them. People will be filled with such excitement to do them, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this church, God, that it is your body. We thank you, God, that they are connected to my churches in the Philippines. We are one body, and that's why it's so awesome, because we are working together for the same cause, which is saving everybody for heaven. That's the aim. It's getting everybody to heaven together, because we're all going to live together in heaven. We may be separate physically now, but we're all going to be together. We're the one body working together. We have the fire from God in our hearts. Let it ignite now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, fall in this place. Heal every disease, break every generational curse. We command all barrenness to leave now. We command the blessing and fruitfulness of God to fall in every area, financially on this church, spiritually on this church. Let there be an outpouring. This is going to be a well of blessing. It's like digging up the old well of the fathers. And there's going to be a new water here where people are going to come and be restored. Because you have grace for every walk of life here. No one is stopped from coming here. Everyone is welcome because you are Amazing Grace. You are filled with the passion of God for freedom in this place. We thank you, Jesus. Bless these leaders, God. We honor them for all of the blessings that they give to us, for all of the time they spend in your word, for all of the battles that we don't see that they go through. We honor them, God. Forgive us, God, for talking bad about them. Forgive us, Jesus, for saying things wrong about them when we didn't understand what they were going through. We lift them up now in Jesus' name, and we say to this leadership, as a church, we are behind you. We are in this battle with you. And when you need a rest, we will go forward for you. In the name of Jesus, surround these leaders with good friends, God, that they can trust in, that they can share with and know that they are a locked down vault and that information will never go anywhere. Lord, we bless the friendships in this church. Let them go down deep. Thank you, Lord, that this church is from you, that this place is blessed from you, God. We thank you, Jesus. Fill us with fire now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Fire from on high. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just open your hands to God. The Holy Spirit wants to anoint you. Like with the fire that came on the apostles when they were waiting in that room. They were confused. They didn't know what was going on, and that's okay. Some of you feel like that today. And the Holy Spirit wants to bring peace on you. He wants to wash away your confusion. He wants to give you power from on high that's going to make you speak to different languages and different people groups and not be afraid. No longer will you hide in your small room wondering, how will I get through this? How will I battle this alone? You're not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you and he's going to fill you now with so many new words to speak to people and so many fresh visions and dreams for your own lives that this church is going to roll and be unstoppable. Thank you, Lord. We anoint this church now with your power, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your truth. We bless these faithful people, God. Give them everything they need and more. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you.